Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 12. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for us, the people of God.
Oh boy, the widow's mite. Jesus lifting up poor people again. It's tough. It's tough, right? It can be convicting for us in a place like Cary to see Jesus constantly lifting up those who are less fortunate, those who are on the margins of society. When you're not on the margins of society, it can feel a little bit annoying, right? Like, does Jesus still care about me, right? Does Jesus still care about those at the center of power? What does it mean to be generous, right? What does it mean when this poor widow comes forward and gives everything that she has? One of the things I've been seeing on Instagram a lot lately is, one, politics. And it's been really draining for me. Instagram has always been a safe haven for me of like comedy. Like I follow a ton of comedians and like funny people and memes. And lately it's been getting really, really, really intense on social media. Even in for my Finstagram. Is that, am I saying that right, kids? Okay. I'll take that as a no. And my wife is like, "You gotta get off Instagram. It's too much. You're getting too into the debate, and you're getting too, you know, it's taken over a little bit." One of the things, though, that I saw this last week that did bring me a lot of joy was Kevin Hart and The Rock. It was a clip of Kevin Hart and The Rock and just their weird friendship. They were advertising Jumanji or some other terrible movie they did together. And they're in this interview process, and the interviewer says, "Dwayne, I heard you bought a house for your mom recently." And he's like, yeah, bought a house for my mom. And the interviewer was like, "Oh, that's so generous." And like everyone around, like you can hear people off camera, like clapping for The Rock who bought his mom a house. And the whole time Kevin Hart's like shaking his head. And he's like, "It's about time." $1 billion later, he buys his mom a house. And so he starts roasting Dwayne The Rock Johnson and everyone's laughing. And he's like, "I think we're all thinking it, right? It's about time." Right? You couldn't afford to do this before. And he's like trying to defend himself. He's like, "I bought my mom many houses, but this is like the last house that I bought her." But it was funny because it exposed, you know, what we often feel, right? Which is in this moment, couldn't The Rock afford to already have bought his mom a house? Right? Could we afford to give more? Can we as Christians afford to do more for the world? Can we afford to be more generous of ourselves? In our story this morning, Jesus is doing what we all wish that we could do in this moment. Y'all, we have plenty of chairs up here. You're all welcome to come up. Or Jen, can you help us maybe get some chairs for them? Yeah, we're glad you guys are here. He's watching what people put in the offering plate is what Jesus is doing. I did this as a kid once, and my mom smacked me. In church, I simply paid attention to what people were giving in the plate, right? That's what he does. He's been going at it with the scribes and the Pharisees. He's been like having a, you know, difficult time with their hypocrisy. And he, you know, is teaching in this moment, and he sits down opposite the treasury, opposite from the offering box, and just sits there and just watches what people are putting in, judging, right? I think my mom would be really mad at Jesus in this moment, I gotta say. And he sees that the rich people are making it rain, right? They're dropping in heavy coins, and it's making a noise in this offering box. It's a loud kind of offering, and they're throwing in this money and dumping it in, and he gets annoyed. Which if you're like me, I'm like, why does he get annoyed? Rich people are giving a lot of money. What's the big deal? Isn't that what they're supposed to do, right? To whom much is given, much is required, right? And he's, what's going on? Why is he annoyed? He's annoyed because they're giving what they can afford to give. They're giving what they're not going to miss, right? This is nothing for them to drop into that offering box. You know, to get to them, this is also likely a really calculated gift. Scribes were really good with numbers, really good at scribing what it is they were required to give by the law of tithes and by the tradition of what you're supposed to give in this moment and how you figured it out down to the exact dollar. And I got to tell you, I felt a little convicted by that this week because every year, when it's time for us to fill out our commitment cards, I sit down, I look at our budget, and I talk about it with my wife, and I'm like, okay, here's our number. This is what our tithe is based on the percentage of what we give, and we know what that number is down to the dollar. And we fill out that commitment card, we turn it into the church, and I gotta be honest with you, rarely is what we give throughout that year a dollar more than what we tell them we're going to give, what we communicate to the church that we're going to give, what we can afford to give, right? And we often practice generosity in this way, in ways that we can afford to be generous. Like the rich people in the story, generosity for us has to work within the budget, right? We give what we can afford to give. We hold back a little just to be safe, just to mitigate that risk, just to feel comfortable. And it's not just with our money, it's with our giftedness, right? I can serve once a quadrennium. Here's when I can serve the church. When are the next Olympics? Well, they're happening right now, but, right? But like, it's a little bit of like, I used to have this joke with one of our pastors here of when somebody says, hey, I'd like to offer this to the church. And it's like a super specific niche thing that's a, you know, one thing. And it's really, it's got to be done. And this, and it's like, I just want to write back, thank you for your small amount of mitigated support. Ungrateful, I know. But truthfully, we do that. We all do this, right? And we do this with our time. I have a pastor friend of mine, pastor in the United Methodist Church, incredible pastor, went to Duke with him. We're good friends. I said, hey, man, I'm launching this new thing at the church. I want to pick your brain. You're so good at this thing. Can we get together and have lunch and I can pick your brain? He said, yeah, man, I'd love that. And he says, here's my scheduling link. And he sends me this thing I've never received before. It's called Calendly. Anyone use Calendly? Yeah, not anymore after this story. Bye. He sends me this thing and I'm like, what are you, my dentist? I gotta do paperwork before I see you. And I'm going through this thing and I'm like, this sucks. This is the most dehumanized for a pastor to send another pastor to get, and we're friends, to get on his calendar. I'm like, are you the president of the United States that I have to go through? And I'm roasting him the whole time I'm filling this out. I'm doing my name and my phone number and my contact information, my preferred meeting date. And I get to the end of this. This is not a joke. And I have two options to have lunch with my dear friend from seminary, a 30-minute conversation or a 50-minute conversation. 5-0. That's what he can afford to give in his schedule. Right, I'm not just ribbing my friend because I do this as well, but it made me laugh. Like we do this in our calendars, right? How we're generous with people during our days. And I think we approach faith this way too. What can I afford to give? How much time can I afford to give God today? What resources can I afford to give the church? What level of attention can I afford to give my faith? Do I really have the bandwidth, right? Because club tennis is actually taking a lot of time and attention and money from my family. I know I'm on thin ice here. Let me take a step further out onto the ice. Club swimming is taking a lot of time, attention, and money from my family. Kincaid, my son, I'm not exempt from this. He just started, thank you. She knew I was going to say karate. Dojo do karate. It's taekwondo. He's doing taekwondo. And I'm like looking at the schedule. I'm like, there's kind of a lot here. This kind, and I'm going to have to pay for it. right? But like, we get in those situations, right? We want our kids to do these things. We want our families to do these things. Soccer is getting most of our generosity this week. Sorry, God. I've got nothing left to give. Right? I've already served in the PTA this week. Work has been nuts this week. I've been going above and beyond at work. How can I possibly serve in the church? How can I possibly sit in silence and read scripture and pray and talk with God? Now, that's a level of generous that I just can't afford this week. But then this poor widow comes in as Jesus is watching this offering plate. And she drops in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Or as we sometimes know it, the mite. The Greek word is lepton, which literally means thin one. So these are physically thin coins. Not like the rich people's coins that clang and bang. You drop these coins in, they hardly make a noise. And neither does she. She doesn't speak in this story. Which I think is important, not because we're omitting the words of another woman in the Bible, but I think Jesus is actually lifting it up because the scribes and the Pharisees liked to talk. They liked to run game about all the things they're giving and doing for the church, right? Praying in the middle of the street and wearing these ornate robes and taking the best seat at the feast. Right before this, Jesus is talking about all that. And here's this silent woman who silently drops in these silent coins. Preach the gospel, as it's been said. And if necessary, use words. And she does this act, gives everything that she has, holds nothing back. And Jesus pulls his disciples together and he says, look, that. She gave the most. Of everyone combined, she gave the most. And she's preaching here in this moment, because she's not concerned with this question of what can I afford to give, right? You read this story, financial advisors in the room, and you're like, she should have held a coin back, right? But Jesus locks in on this moment as this woman embodies this reckless, and it is reckless, reckless generosity, this reckless trust in God. Some of y'all know, about Dorothy Day. She's the founder of the Catholic worker movement, social activist, incredible person, ran these houses of hospitality. There's this really famous story. Someone comes in from the city and has this diamond, this huge diamond ring, and donates it to the house of hospitality. And she says, thank you so much for this donation. She puts it in her pocket, which I love. And I imagine there's some people like, is that going to stay in your pocket, that huge diamond ring you got in? And goes about her day. This woman comes in, loud woman, annoying woman. It's like, as the story is told, very irritating, always causing trouble, a frequent flyer, a regular at the house of hospitality. She needs food. She needs shelter. She needs this thing. And as Dorothy is having this conversation with her, she takes this ring out of her pocket and hands it to this person. And her staff is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, Miss Day, might I have a word? And they pull her aside and they're like, what are you doing? We could have paid this woman's rent for a whole year if we sold that ring. We could have done so much more with this. Dorothy thinks about it for a second and she says, that woman can do whatever she wants with that ring. She can sell it and pay for her rent for the whole year. She can sell it and take a trip to the Bahamas, or she can keep it and wear it like the rich woman who donated it. And she has this really famous quote, do you suppose that God created diamonds only for the rich? That's radical generosity. That is reckless generosity. We are the ones interested in making generosity efficient and budget-friendly, right? Generosity that would make Dave Ramsey proud, right? Generosity that allows us to still have our emergency fund of 3 to 6 months. I know that because I've done the steps and I use this budgeting app every day, hand up accountability, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But like, Ramsey would freak at this. His radio show where he's just angry, I love it. People call in and he's just an angry old man. It's amazing. He's like, you're an idiot with your money. And I'm like, follow. Right? This is great. I need more of this in my life, right? Jesus is interested in generosity that is so reckless that the only option when given is to trust in God, because the whole self is given, not just the part we think that we can afford. Now, I am not trying to Bible bash this morning. If you think I'm stepping on your toes this morning, just know God's been stepping on my head all week. And our Bible bash was last night with third graders, and it was amazing. I am not trying to shame you this morning with this story, truly. I'm not trying to shame myself. I don't think Jesus is trying to shame us with this story, right? One of the best parts for me of being a pastor is I get a front row seat to what God is doing in your lives, in the lives of our community. I have seen your generosity, you know, and you don't stay someplace 12 years if the people aren't generous, right? I've been here a long time and y'all have taught me so much and truly inspired me so much of how to be more generous with my own life. And I think the question for us this morning is, how does following Jesus inspire us to be generous in ways that are maybe a little bit more reckless? Right? Not flashy, because we are, after all, talking about a poor widow with two coins. Right? How great that that is the image of generosity that Jesus lifts up, because you may be thinking, what do I have to give? I'm just a young adult trying to figure out my 401k. Right? I'm just a middle-aged person trying to figure out how to fix my lack of saving for college. Right? I'm just heading into retirement trying to think, am I going to have enough money to live in retirement? Right? We're all in those positions at times of, what do I have to give the church? I'm not gifted. I can't play the piano and sing. Right? I can't run sound. Serving people in the food pantry, getting my hands dirty, that's just not me. But here's the beauty, is Jesus lifts up her, because it's everything that she has to give. And monetarily, we're talking about two coins, not even worth a penny. What ways is Jesus inviting us to be generous in ways that require risk? Right? That require trust in God to do something with just two small coins, right? Two fish, five loaves, we've heard the story. Trust in God to continue also providing for us daily when we give it all away. This is Jesus's last public teaching in the book of Mark, in the Gospel of Mark. This is his final lesson. Why do you think that is? Why? Why does Mark include this as the last one? I think it's because of what Jesus is about to do next. Jesus is going to be so generous that he is going to give of his body and blood, his very self, on the cross. And God, the Father, is going to be so generous that he is going to give of his only son. There is no second born to still have and hold. It's one and done. The widow's mite is a gift that foreshadows the gift that Jesus is about to make with his very life. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He's trying to encourage the Corinthians to be more generous, and this is what he writes. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. There is no act more generous than this. There is no God more generous than ours. As we follow Jesus, may we be a people that practice this type of generosity. Amen. Amen.